Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is a Sunday Night Live broadcast of AlexJonesLive.com. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I'm going to go to a video here of Steve Bannon giving a little bit of very obvious advice to the Republicans, and Trump in particular, who has seen their share of the voting population decline by 22 points in just the last few months. Here's Steve Bannon telling them how they can get right back on track if they felt so inclined. Let's watch.
It's actually Washington Post. It's not New York Times, Washington Post. It's about the, you know, people looking the other way on mass deportations. You're going to have to go. If you want to hold the House, you're going to have to go back to that. Full stop. I was in Texas. I was in Virginia. If you want to win, it can't be all this crap with the lobbyists, Fabrizio, LaSavita, all these guys on multiple people's payroll giving you bad information. And LaSavita's track record is horrendous, and there should be a criminal investigation of what he's doing down in Texas of burning this money to destroy Ken Paxton in the grassroots movement, full stop. This is how and this story is a great story. Mike Howell's profiled, other people are profiled in there, are fighting for mass deportations and going to the employers. This is what the American people want. The last paragraph, if Denver could put it up and highlight it or box it, this is the last paragraph. This is after Bovino says there's 100 million deportations we could do. We don't have a country unless you do this. Is it hard? Yes. Is the media and the George Clooney's of the world going to fight you every step of the way? Yes. If you want to save your country, you're just going to have to power through it. I'm sorry. And this is why President Trump was the greatest comeback in history. This is the central issue. The central issue. To hold accountability, who did this, which is the deep state trying to destroy this country, the neo-Marxist and the jihadist that have taken over New York City. Through both, we got both a problem with Sharia law in this country. We got a problem with H-1B visas. And we have to give a permission structure to be able to go after both of them. This is the final paragraph after Bovino made that quote on Human Events Daily and other places about 100 million. This is a guy that 30 years, the reason he knows the number for 30 years, he labored for this country on customs and border. So he knows. He knows the numbers. This guy dedicated his life to his country. And some punk over at DHS working for, and they didn't put their name in it, but we're going to find out because they got to be turfed out immediately. And Mark Wayne Mullins, Kung Fu Plumber, has got to get serious about this. He's got to get serious about this. He was atrocious in his confirmation hearing, and he was worse on the Laura Ingraham show, where she had to bring him up short. He gives me the, we're a nation of immigrants. Stop, dude. I've heard the left-wing propaganda. This is how it reads. Bovino could not be reached for comment. In response to a question about Bovino, the DHS spokesperson said, and here's the quote, disgruntled former employees at DHS are welcome to criticize their nation's leadership, unquote. Screw you. A disgruntled former employee, you're going to be a disgruntled former employee. This is crap. And people are fighting to make sure the people, listen, if the war room posse takes a pass, if you lean on your rakes, there's going to be a 30-seat blowout, full stop. A 30-seat blowout. So all the money and the LaSavitas and the Fabrizios and all these geniuses that have blown everything they've touched and the Mike Johnsons of the world understand that without the grassroots in this country fired up to go door to door and do voter contact, this is a blowout. They had the article, the GOP feels like they got a firewall, and that's all the money they've raised. All corporate money all comes with donors and lobbyists' greasy hands attached to it. No, that's not going to save you. It's not. And so for people that are concerned about the Trump revolution, we need to have some action. Now, today, you finally started getting something.
Draft politicians for World War III, like Lindsey Graham and Ben Shapiro, Let's send them to the front lines. You can get this shirt and other incredible designs at thealexjonesstore.com, which also funds the new network, the Alex Jones Network, where you'll find my live feeds, the other great shows, special reports, investigative reports, and more at the new coordinates of liberty, alexjoneslive.com. And share that URL as well. You are the modern Paul Revere's. And then, of course, download on Android and Apple the free apps so you can watch the show and more and share it at alexjonesapp.com. Now, I'll see you on the front lines of the InfoWar.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Listening to an AJN Live frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Alex Jones Live, second hour of Sunday Night Live here on the Alex Jones Network. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Make sure you're following us on X at AJN Live. AlexJonesLive.com is the URL to share to your friends and family. AlexJonesLive.com. I saw somebody on X yesterday saying, I miss the days when InfoWars, I should say, when Alex Jones was advertised on, you know, a piece of plywood sticking out of somebody's backyard, just saying, tune in to 90.1 or whatever it is, which is exactly what I always talk about. I mean, that's what, you know, once again reinforced for me how important and how influential and how unique this organization is, InfoWars will continue to be when you see people standing outside on their lunch break holding signs or something like that. That's the type of action we need now. Because just like Alex was saying during his show, and I've said before, I mean, I remember back in 2018, one of my neighbors saying, you know, I used to listen to Alex all the time and such a bummer y'all got, you know, taken out. And I said, well, you know, we're still on this other website. We're just not on YouTube. And he's like, yeah, but, you know, I watch things on YouTube, so you don't exist to me anymore, basically. I mean, you're still supportive and whatever, but, you know, some people, if they have their media habits and if something's no longer available, it just sort of out of sight, out of mind. So let's not let that happen to the Alex Jones Network. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors. Do whatever you need to get the word out there. We probably need is stickers, because that's always the fun thing, is when you see the InfoWars sticker in the wild. And you know that there are patriots about. But the merchandise as well, right? You can always wear a Alex Jones or old InfoWars shirt around and strike up conversations and, you know, make sure everybody knows where to go. AlexJonesLive.com. AlexJonesLive.com. Because our enemies are publishing things like this. Alex Jones is finally off the air for now. Nope. Wrong. Wrong. Very wrong. Ellie Quinlan. How Tailing, Alex Jones's final meltdown on InfoWars was a defiant rejection of the company's new ownership. Okay, sure. So I'm telling you, this is just like what they're telling everybody. They came out, you know, The Onion came out with their parody of us, apparently. To be honest, I could not make it more than like 2 minutes. It is utterly unwatchable. It's not interesting. It's not funny. And I don't know anybody saying that it is. In fact, I mean, if you go through the comments on the YouTube video, like 90% of the comments are just like, gee, it sounds like it hurts your voice, Tim. Hey, Tim, that's a really painful voice you're doing there. It's like, that's not what you want people coming away from your thing that you spent millions and millions of dollars to do. People just being like, wow, this is uncomfortable to watch, Tim. This kind of hurts to watch. We have empathy with you, and it seems like this is going to be a painful 6 months for you. Humiliation ritual continuously. I'm wondering whether I should talk about that or just save it for tomorrow. Because they did mention me, but they didn't say my name. They refused to say my name, which is a pattern I've noticed. They always refuse to say my name. Remember the ADL published my tweet but blocked out my name? Why would they do that? Why won't they say my name, I wonder? And I, you know, I'm halfway tempted just to give them advice because they're failing. Like, they have failed. They are failing. And it's like, I keep seeing this stuff. And it's true. I mean, you know, we'll just add onion to the pile of trash. It's already way too high as it is. Just four examples here. The trash pile ever grows. Brain fight with Tuck Buckford. You've got the Onion parody of the InfoWars. You've got the opposition with Jordan Klepper. That was a whole damn show they tried to do to parody us. And you've got the Howard Stern recurring, you know, Alex Jones puppet parody. And that doesn't even include the Homeland series and the, you know, caricatures of the Alex Jones-like character, you know, from everywhere else. This is just the direct, like, purposeful parodies, you know, pointed right at us. And they're all terrible. None of them have any idea how to do it. And I see people online going, well, it's just because Alex is unparodyable. He's too self-aware. He's too sort of, you know, over the top and rambunctious. Ivan saw Reese tweeted something out about this. Your good old Uncle Reese was saying that it's just not possible to. I think it is. I think I could do a great. And I don't even want to give him advice here, but I will, because it's just, I'm just that nice of a guy. And they're just not talented, and it like hurts to watch them. It's embarrassing. It's very embarrassing to watch them try to be funny, and they just can't. I'll tell you what it is. In fact, I think Reese is back there. Reese, can you bring up your tweet? Can we bring up Reese's tweet where he talks about this? So I was going to leave it as a comment, but I thought I'd say it here. Because I'm like, do I tell them what the secret is to parodying Alex? Because I do know it. Nobody else knows it. Nobody else can figure it out, but it's not that hard. I don't know if I want to give it to him, though. I don't know if I want to tell him how to do it, but I will. From Crazy Unc Reese on X, you cannot actually parody Alex Jones. He is one of those rare specimens that is exempt from its clutches, truly. He's so divinely, uniquely, and outlandishly bombastic in his delivery that any attempt to eclipse it through mockery will inevitably ring hollow and try hard. And I think I think he's right. But I think I could do it. And I'll tell you how I could do it. I'm just going to tell you, all right, if you're with the Onion, you have to turn this off now, all right? You're not allowed to steal my ID, even though you steal everything else. I don't think I should. I don't think I should tell him how to do it. Maybe I will tomorrow. Maybe I'll get into it more tomorrow and actually address what they said. They're kind of nice to me. He wants to hire me. The Onion wants to hire me. Can you imagine? Can you imagine me lending my genius to them? Never going to happen. It's also funny. He's like, he's a young man. He's just starting out. Son, I'm a 36-year-old father of three. Okay. I look young because I'm young in spirit. Because I take the supplements at thealexjonesstore.com. That's what makes me youthful and vivacious. All right? I know it's complicated. It's hard for you to understand because you are the has-been that never was. I'll do it tomorrow. We'll get into it fully tomorrow. I don't want to waste the little time we have here on them. And maybe tomorrow I'll give you the secret of parodying Alex Jones. Okay? It's so simple. It's so genius. Maybe I'll just do it. Maybe I will just parody Alex Jones better than they can. Wouldn't that be something? Because I can make it funny. Because I understand it. Because I understand what it would take. We got to move on or I'm going to tell them. I'm going to give them the secret. And then they might actually be successful. The only way they could possibly be successful is if they have me to think for them. And I refuse to do it. I'm going to let them struggle and die all on their own, metaphorically and in ratings, I mean. But now we have actual serious stuff to talk about here. One of them is, of course, another, I'm sorry to say it, but we did tell you so. We did tell you this was the case. And in fact, I told you this on October 9th, 2023. Because on October 9th, 2023, it was the first show of the Alex Jones Show after October 7th and the big terror attack, and Chase Geiser and I sat there and sort of played out in a thought experiment what a full-scale attack on Gaza would eventually lead to. And on October 9th, the calculus was already there. This is going to extend to include a direct confrontation between Israel and Iran. Israel cannot handle Iran without American boots on the ground. Therefore, they need American boots on the ground. But if they attack Iran and Iran responds to America, all of the American bases are sitting ducks. I remember saying that, and you can go watch it yourself. Well, if you had the foresight to back up those episodes, which many of them can still be found on Rumble, then you can go back and see. Like, we said this exact thing. And we'll go now to clip number 7 here, because this confirms what we told you on October 9th, 2023 would be the case if Iran ever went to war with America. American bases would be hit, and they'd be hit hard, and they did not have the ability to defend themselves against the weapons that would be hitting them. And then after the first week of attacks, when everybody was saying, "Nah, we're fine, nothing's happened, no American bases have been destroyed, that's all crazy conspiracy theory stuff," but no, it's been admitted we were right, as we always are. Let's go to clip number 7 now.
Yes, of course.
Clip number 7 should be a CNN confirms Iran brilliantly targeted and destroyed a U.S. Boeing E-3 Century system worth $500 million. Here it is.
Told us that they'd never seen anything like this at American bases, that these were rapid, targeted strikes using advanced technology. Iran's main targets? Multi-million-dollar aircraft, like this Boeing E-3 Century, which gave the U.S. a huge amount of visibility over the Gulf. It's out of production, and in today's money, it's worth nearly $500 million. Critical communications equipment. Look at these giant golf balls. They're known as radomes, and they protect satellite dishes vital for data transmission. In this base alone, Iran destroyed all but one of the radomes less than a month into the war. And crucially, radar systems. Highly sophisticated, expensive, difficult to replace, and critical to air defense. A second U.S. source, this one a congressional aide familiar with damage assessments, described these as the most cost-effective of the targets. Our radar systems, they said, are our most expensive and our most limited resource in the region.
And of course, they did that with, like, drones worth a couple thousand bucks. So, like, just obviously, we've lost the Iran war. I think it's time to pack it in and just admit that we lost the Iran war, because every day this goes on, the worse and more catastrophic the effects will be. And they're already going to be astronomical, practically unimaginable. Fertilizer exports through Hormuz slow to a trickle. And just look at this fall off here. 20-year urea-laden strips. 20 urea-laden ships remain in the Gulf. But you can see that it just falls off a cliff and obviously is not, regained at all any. And on top of that, you have all of these various refineries and fertilizer plants going up in smoke in Kuwait and China and Mexico and India, Australia, Iraq, Romania, India, USA, Russia, and Pakistan. Multiple refineries and industrial sites hit by fires, explosions, and attacks. Impacts, fatalities, outages, and supply disruptions all in the month of April. Between April 2nd and April 22nd, there were like 12 major refineries attacked and destroyed. Which, again, I don't think that's a coincidence at all. And this is the type of thing where you can go back and look at, how often do these things happen? Are we just noticing them more? Or do they always happen? This does not always happen. This is a unique event that really only ever happened in history another time, which was during the run-up to the COVID lockdown. So, again, I'm very concerned what this is going to bring about. Nobody is telling you how F the farmers are. Again, we've read this earlier, and I guess this is the original guy that posted. I was confused because that far leftist guy posted it, and I was like, why do I have this? And apparently it was posted. Apparently the left stole something they didn't make and took it for themselves. Incredible. But yeah, what it says is the agricultural secretary just confirmed this publicly, how screwed the farmers are. 1 in 4 American farmers has no fertilizer for spring planting. No crops, no food. If you have no fertilizer, farm bankruptcies were up 46% in 2025. 160,000 farms have closed since 2017. Now, whether they closed or were consumed by a, you know, major multinational industrial titan, sort of tomato tomato, sort of either way, what you're left with is closed down and bankrupted farms. Airlines can cancel flights in advance over fuel shortages in new plan. And of course, Delta Airlines now wants like $1 billion payout, a bailout for $2.5 billion for Delta Airlines, even as they mysteriously cancel hundreds of flights nationwide, citing crew restrictions. See, the important thing to understand about this is the way the media covers something that is a gigantic deal that you should be freaking out about that they don't want you freaking out about. That's what we're seeing here. We've got stories from, you know, major MSM outlets all over the place, and everyone, like, the headline should be like red sirens as imminent starvation, you know, crisis because of fertilizer shortage. But it's just like, you know, just sort of calmly say, you know, there's a Forbes headline that was just like, yeah, it looks like farmers are saying that they don't have fertilizer and aren't going to have food next year, so we should look into that. But the experts are on it. It's just like, no, this is a very big deal. This is very crazy, and we should do something about this. Like, again, once again, I feel like we're kind of in like the COVID era. Do you remember first couple months of COVID before the mainstream media had told anybody about it? And only people like InfoWars were going, hey, there's this thing happening in China that we should be paying attention to. And what did they say? Nancy Pelosi goes out and goes, go hug your Chinese neighbor. Go to your Chinese neighborhood. Don't let the racism of the Trump administration stop you from loving your Chinese friends and family. And we're just like, no, there's a disease in China that we want to keep there and not let come over here. Stop calling us racist, you idiots. And they called us racist until the virus got here. And then they told us that there was nothing they could do about it. Yeah, aren't you getting a little bit of deja vu? Isn't this a little bit familiar? Where, like, yeah, the media was going, there's something going on in China. There's a mysterious thing happening, but it's fine. Don't worry about it. And we're the ones going, no, this is a big deal, and we should be sounding the alarm about this. The media has a skill, has a couple different skills that are sort of parallel mirror images of one another. They can create and manufacture crisis out of nothing. They can convince everybody that America is racist and sexist and homophobic, even though we're the least of any of those things. But they can also hold off panic where it should flourish, right? We should be very angry about this, especially because the thing that's causing it is a choice being made by our government. That's the real issue, is that we're going to have a food crisis because of the Iran war. And the people who should be telling us this in order to inspire the political will to stop the Iran war are downplaying the effects that this is going to have because they want it to continue. So just here we are again, once again, just like COVID, trying to tell you about what's coming. Most people probably ignore us completely, only to, you know, turn around and tell us the same thing we've been saying forever and act like we're all just figuring this out at the same time. Again, I don't know how we get around this. I don't know how we like stop this cycle, but it really is infuriating. I used to tell the story a lot more, but like one of the craziest times of all of COVID to me, two times, very early on, like I think it was like the first thing that I did where I remember like people wearing masks. It was with my wife's family, and we got in a little bit of an argument because I was trying to explain that masks don't stop the virus. Using the metaphor of a chain link fence, trying to stop a mosquito. It's too big. The virus is too small. It goes in anyway. You're a conspiracy theorist. That's not true. The experts say blah, blah, blah. And I said, all right, you know, wear your mask if you want. That's fine. And then like 3 years later, the same people go, you know, the masks don't actually stop the virus. And I'm like, oh, really? And they're like, yeah, we just heard on CNN, they have to be N5 or above or else the mesh is too wide, the virus gets in anyway. And so I just have to, like always, just be like, oh, really? So CNN said that, did they? Fascinating. Interesting. And I don't know, you know, it's my family, so I'm not going to like But, you know, part of me is kind of like, do you not remember the conversation we had 2 years ago? I remember it very distinctly. And I remember telling you this exact thing. Why does it take 2 years and CNN for it to get through? I don't know. I couldn't possibly tell you. All I know is that we'll sit here and tell you the truth, get called names, and then 2 years later, everybody knows the truth and everybody forgot that we told them in the first place. Sort of annoying. Kind of very annoying, actually. That's just the way it goes. So, like, here we are again. Here we are again. So you can just clip this out. You can bookmark this just in, you know, a year. If we even make it that far when the rationing hits, we'll just be here saying we told you so again. So infuriating. But obviously, I mean, I really do think that's just, you know, the point of all of this. I don't think anything about the nuclear dust or anything is even real at this point. I think it's all just an excuse to keep the strait closed, to keep the fertilizer locked in. I mean, how many different ways are there to have avoided this oncoming catastrophe and total disaster? We could have not gone to war with Iran, obviously. We could have foreseen that they were going to close the Strait of Hormuz and changed our military strategy to guarantee that that never happened, if that's even possible. We could have harvested our own fertilizer, the urea, the nitrogen-rich material that is required for fertilizer. See, China makes their own out of coal. We could do that, but the climate change agenda told us not to. And again, like once again, is this a coincidence? Do you think this is a coincidence, folks? That for the last 10 years, there's been repeated efforts to shut down farming in places like the Netherlands, the number two exporter of food in the world, over things like nitrogen in the soil or methane that cows release, and that then the war in Iran just happens to correspond directly and exactly with their already pre-established agenda, or the C40 systems, the C40 agenda adopted by cities, that their intention was to use government to stop you from flying in planes or owning your own car or buying, you know, disposable material. Do you think it's a coincidence or an accident that that's exactly what's going on now with the shutdown of the jet fuel through the Strait of Hormuz? It's like, how many things have to align perfectly for people to realize that it's not an accident and it's not a coincidence? And that's because the same people orchestrating it through the government are the same ones orchestrating it through the war. And it's just like whatever method is most convenient, it doesn't matter to them. Again, I feel like I'm just beating my head on a rock over and over again, like Sisyphus, just trying desperately to get somewhere. But I don't know, until enough people recognize this and stand up against it and we do what's necessary to get out of this war in Iran, we're headed towards the cliff. We're just on the train tracks. The trains go off the cliff. There's no bridge there. And we're just sitting here going, there is no bridge. You have to stop the train. We have to stop this. Why are we still going? And everybody else is just shoveling coal into the engine, pursuing their demise at full speed. It's absolutely mad, but they get away with it because the media's in on it and they hide the truth from the people. So you got to break through, and the only way to break through is with the truth.
I have been very blessed and honored in 32 years on air and 28 years of InfoWars to have seen the whole world change. When I first got started, almost nobody knew about the globalists. People were literally in the dark. Look how far we've come. We are exposing them. Jeffrey Epstein, the pedophile rings, the poison COVID shots, the open borders, the global wars, the 5G, all of it is coming out. Humanity is rallying. This is the fourth turning. This is the great awakening. It is the answer to their great reset. I am so proud of humanity, and I'm so thankful to all the viewers and listeners who over the years have supported us by prayer, word of mouth, and financial support at thealexjonesnetwork.com. So InfoWars has been shut down, but we've launched the Alex Jones Network. We plan to crank this sucker up. We got new studios, they're even bigger, being built. And we want to go 19 hours a day live by the end of 2026 from 5 a.m. until midnight. So If I build it, will you come? Yes, I know you will. So now more than ever, go to thealexjonesstore.com and get incredible supplements. Our methylene blue is the best. Our methylene red is proprietary. Our bovine colostrum, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, incredible collectible knives, and so much more. You are literally financing the tip of the spear and the resistance that the tyrants and the globalists hate above everything else. InfoWars is a proven winner. They have a URL. They have an old studio. That means nothing. You are the InfoWar. And if you accept this mission, if you take action, if you spread the word, if you share our links, alexjoneslive.com, the news site, the live feeds, the articles, the videos, it's incredible. If you share the feed with everybody you know at alexjonesapp.com, the free Droid or Apple download of the app, it is insane. All the power lies with you. That's why when callers call in and thank me, I say, thank me. I would fight this no matter what. I'd fight it in a ditch. I'd fight if I was homeless. We're all in this together. You have all the power, but you have to use the power now. Share the feeds to alexjoneslive.com. Share the URL, alexjonesapp.com. And go to thealexjonesstore.com with the widest selection of Patriot apparel to wear your uniform of liberty openly and proudly. It's such an adventure to wear this apparel and to get the incredible supplements that will empower your life so you'll know how real this is. I only sell stuff that really works, so I want you to get it and take it and love it and have a great response. We have a 90+% reorder rate. So many of you are on the fence. Take action now. Step into a wider world. Go to thealexjonesstore.com today and support this broadcast. But regardless, take the feed, take the live links at alexjoneslive.com/show and on Rumble and Relox Shows on X, the Alex Jones Show on Rumble, and share those links, and it changes the world. You are unstoppable when you decide to get up at the plate and take action. This is real. This isn't hype. You've seen the results. Now the ball's in your court. AlexJonesLive.com and AlexJonesApp.com. Take action. You are the reincarnation of Paul Revere. You are unstoppable. The globalists are in deep crap. Take action now at AlexJonesLive.com and AlexJonesApp.com. And I want to be clear. I don't own the AlexJonesStore.com. Bigly, that owns the Alex Jones Network, does. We've got a major deal with Rumble to push our information. It's already top on Rumble, but to supercharge it. The most important coordinate in this fight is rumble.com/Alex Jones Live. rumble.com/Alex Jones Live. We are already at the top of Rumble, but we're going to go even further partnering with them. This is the coordinates of liberty. Take action right now at rumble.com/Alex Jones Live, and we are unstoppable. The power of humanity is unstoppable if you simply unleash it now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Gentlemen, it's AlexJonesLive.com, the Sunday night broadcast. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live from our off-site headquarters, from the new command center here in Austin, Texas. I got a lot to show you here in this final segment. This is the final segment, right? Yeah. Time flies, I'll tell you. We got a lot of stuff to cover, including a interview from the New York Times and with Tucker Carlson, which is one of the most fascinating pieces of media I've ever seen in my life. Truly psychopathic behavior from the New York Times interviewer that we're going to have to investigate. Here's the headline I was talking about from Forbes. 70% of farmers can't afford to grow all their crops. Okay. Sucks for them, I guess. That sort of underplays it, doesn't it? Doesn't that kind of undersell it just a little bit? 70% of farmers can't afford to grow all their crops. It's kind of like a, you know, special niche story, not something you should care about, obviously. You're not a farmer, are you? So why should you care, really? In the reality, what it should be is, you know, panic as world food supply in grave peril. That's what the headline should probably read. But see, they're covering it. You can't say they aren't covering it. You can't say they didn't tell you about it. They just want to play it down. They want to say, yeah, you know, it's these things are kind of connected, the war in Iran and the, you know, not having any food anymore. But you would think, you know, not having any food anymore would be kind of like a call to action, to be like a big deal. You know, we need food to eat after all. I don't know if y'all remember this. But no, they'll downplay it. They'll soft, slow roll it. And eventually, they'll be rationing food on the basis of race. And everybody who disagrees will be a racist and a hateful bigot. And their social credit score will collapse even further. So no one will just be able to get food. Maybe you'll still be able to get, you know, starvation rations. But that's if you behave yourself from here on out. So that's just going to happen unless we stop it. And we can stop that at any point. And in a way, I feel like right-wing activism has sort of collapsed. Now, there's obvious reasons for that. January 6th scared the crap out of everybody when everybody realized, oh, if we just participate in a protest, they can just attack the protest and then arrest everybody as domestic terrorists and send them all to jail for 20 years. That's kind of horrifying. Gee, it seems like we should probably turn the tables on them and, in fact, arrest all the people that did that to innocent patriots. But we didn't do that. We didn't do that. And if you care to look at this graph here that Robert Barnes posted, you may see the consequences of that, amongst other things, right? Total collapse, complete, utter failure of the Trump administration across the board. One of the primary ones would be that the people that arrested Enrique Tarrio and Joe Biggs and Stuart Rhodes and the Oath Keepers and 1,200 more innocent patriots tried to and effectively destroyed many of their lives, tried to imprison them for the rest of their lives in some cases. And nothing's happened to those people. They're still prosecuting things at the Department of Justice. So if you want the right wing to be resurgent, if you want right wing activism and protest to spark up once again, you need to show people that they're not going to go to jail forever for participating in it. And Trump has not signaled that at all. So that's one of the reasons right-wing activism has collapsed entirely. Also, I don't know how exactly to credit it to X being open, but it seems to me like there are events that occur now that if they had occurred in 2016, it would have mostly occurred on 4chan, and it would have resulted in like major activism and people doing things about the information that was revealed. Now it seems like the information gets revealed. We talk about it, but there's not this like underground anonymous cohort who is aggressively waging war, information war on our behalf. Like this story from Zero Hedge, I only found it on Zero Hedge. I didn't see anybody talking about this on X. Blue Sky goes full panic after fired Trump officials' anti-ICE website doxes 18,000 leftists. So apparently there's 18,000 leftist identities, people on Blue Sky who thought they were anonymous and were probably posting some crazy crap on Blue Sky. And the correct response to this, and I swear if this had come out, something like this had happened in 2016, it would have been all hands on deck. It would have been contacting every single one of their employers to talk about what these people post online and demand that they be fired if they'd done something like called for the, you know, death of their political opponents, like we've seen on some of the comments under The Onion recently. Like, does anybody else feel that way? They're like, have you heard about this story? I feel like if this had happened in 2016, this just broke today, there'd be like an organized effort to make use of this information. Maybe it's going on and I just don't see it. But I feel like there's so many right-wingers on X everywhere. This isn't a you know, passive spectator sport. You got to participate in this. I'm not saying you take this information and do anything dangerous with it, but I'm saying this is an information war and we just got delivered a giant tranche of enemy information. We should probably do something with that. It could probably be pretty useful since we are in an existential combat with these people over the fate of our country and the world. This might be the type of thing we'd want to make use of and take advantage of. And I don't see a lot of people making use of or taking advantage of this or other things that have come out recently. And in fact, as I'm reading this and learning about what actually happened, I don't know why we aren't orchestrating stuff like this. This seems very easy. What happened was a bunch of people from Blue Sky downloaded an anti-ICE or joined an anti-ICE activist website launched by a fired Trump official, and there was a vulnerable connection to an unprotected API, which it's like, this is just an accident? How is this not something that we're doing? How is a right-winger not creating apps that are supposedly anti-ICE just for the purpose of confusing and distracting and annoying and doing other informational warfare tactics against the left? I feel like we should be doing this. I feel like we got enough talented and motivated people on the right. Where are the honeypot apps to trick leftists? Where are they? Oh, we have morals, do we? The crew just chimed in to tell me we have morals. Well, that's kind of true. Dang it. But here's the thing. I don't think there's anything immoral about finding the identity of somebody who's threatening to kill us and then calling their employer. Now, again, if you're calling an employer and talking about like a joke somebody made when they were 12 on a private chat, okay, that's crazy. But tricking leftists, I don't think there's anything immoral about tricking leftists whose entire purpose is the total destruction of our country. Like, hello, these people want to, like, why are they going after ICE? Oh, because ICE is law enforcement that protects our borders, and they would rather America be completely subsumed in a wave of hostile foreigners. Okay, let's trick them a little bit. How about that? That doesn't seem too bad to me. Personally, the breach exposed sign-up records may have been forwarded to federal investigators 3 days ago. And there you go. That's what you got to do. That's a moral thing. Well, now I'm torn. Now I'm torn between vigilanteism or snitchery. God forbid we be snitches. But it certainly would terrify the crap out of leftists to know that ICE had their information. I bet that'd scare the crap. I bet that'd shut them up for a little while. We have morals. As if there's anything immoral about tricking these fools. Taylor, this guy who made it, his name is Taylor. He was suspended in April 2025 for treasonous conduct after allegedly stoked dissension by manufacturing sensationalist reports on the existence of a supposed resistance inside the federal government. Now it appears he may have unintentionally honeypotted his left-wing comrades, many of whom reportedly plotted revolution on Blue Sky. Yeah. Yeah, no, they're plotting revolution. That's what they're doing. Which, again, it's like, really, the saddest commentary on all of this is that it never even entered into my mind that the federal government would do this, which they should, like you would think, when you got a bunch of leftists in America openly advocating violence, openly plotting revolution. You'd think the federal government would maybe want to intervene, intercede, and prevent that from coming about. But that's obviously never going to happen. So it does fall to us at the end of the day to try to protect ourselves from these psychopaths. And if revealing who they are prevents them from carrying out their deranged habits or their deranged goals, then I think I'm fine. I think I'm actually fine with that. One of the other, again, very disturbing things that I see that seem to me to align with everything else that we see is an odd synchronicity in the way that both American states and European states are not only passing digital ID, enforcing digital ID voluntarily through usage of big tech or through the device manufacturers themselves, so you circumvent the restrictions that the government would have on collecting such information. They're all doing that, and they're all, you know, all of these methods are being pursued at the same time. Of course, in Europe, it's a lot easier for them to just literally make certain things illegal or just come out and say, like, Keir Starmer came out, this video from Shadow of Ezra, to say protests must now be fully approved by the government and not offend Israel in any way. He says certain words or phrases will get you arrested for racism. The Anti-Defamation League wants these types of rules in the United States. Now, luckily, we have the First Amendment, which at least prevents them from taking such blatant and, you know, straightforward attacks against our freedom of speech. But Europe does not have any protections like that. And America's protections are being dissolved right in front of us at an incredibly rapid rate. And so then you have, of course, methods by which one can get around these restrictions. And it's those methods that they're now clamping down on. So Utah is the first state to hold websites liable for users who mask their location with VPNs. The law goes into effect designed to prevent bypassing age checks. Senate Bill 73 holds websites liable for users who mask their location. So basically, it's a roundabout way of making VPNs illegal. Utah's online age verification amendments, formerly Senate Bill 73, takes effect on May 6th, marking the state the first in the U.S. to explicitly target VPN use as part of age verification legislation. Now, I'll tell you again, it has nothing to do with age verification, obviously. It'd be so fun to be a bad guy. You really just have to come up with like the lamest excuse ever and then just run with that. Like, it really is amazing. It's like, what if we force everyone to take a picture of their face every time they use the internet? Like, how the hell are you going to get people to do that? Oh, we'll tell them it's age verification for children. Idiots. And that's just what happens. It's crazy. It really is crazy. But everything is like that. It's like, just look at what they do. What they're doing is building a digital prison, a digital panopticon, so they can surveil you at all times, know exactly who you are, connect your digital identity to your real life identity, so they can either punish you for what you say, or at the very least, have you censor yourself because you're nervous about what you should say. And that's what's at. Like, you look at what they're doing, and the function is that they are setting up a censorship program that corresponds across the board with the digital ID push, the age verification push, the anti-Semitism, hate speech push. Like, it's all aligned, and it's happening across the world, all in white Western Christian nations, just like the immigration crisis is happening in every white nation and only white nations. Like, all of these things are various facets of the same attack. And every one of them will be justified with something else. Every one of them. Oh, the migration, it's for the economy. The taking your photo while you get online, that's for age verification. The digital ID, that's for convenience, I'm sure. And yet they all align to exactly the same thing at the same time that the fertilizer is not being spread, meaning that starvation is coming, meaning rationing will take place, meaning that by the time they're ready to dispense your corn allotment for the month, you will be incapable of escaping because they have the digital panopticon and your digital identity that they can watch from space through your heartbeat with a satellite. Like, all of this stuff is happening at the same time for a very obvious reason. To me, it all seems very obvious. And at the same time, so you've got Utah basically writing a law to undo the effects of VPN and make VPN use all but illegal or ineffectual. And at the exact same time, you've got this happening in Europe. Let's go to clip number 6 here. New age ID system cannot be bypassed via VPN. Let's watch. Oh, clip 6 you don't have?
Yes, of course, it's difficult, of course, to have the technological solutions that there's no any way to circumvent or try to circumvent, of course, the rules. But now when we are setting the rules in place, of course, we have to also have ways how we are able to implement this. And now we don't have that kind of age verification tool at all, which is protecting the people's privacy, and in the same time, which is cyber secure and secure all the levels. So this is our solution for that. But of course, it's also important part of next steps also to look that it shouldn't be circumvented. And especially, of course, we are especially looking at that kind of high-risk services now. We just few weeks ago, we published preliminary findings on against 4 porn platforms, and these, for example, are seen as a high-risk services that they have to have very strong age verification tool in the place that they can be sure that users under 18 years, they are not having access to these porn platforms, for example. So that's why that kind of privacy preserving solutions are very much needed.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, absolutely. That totally didn't sound like the frantic cover-up of a supervillain trying to disguise the real purpose of their incredibly obvious suppression techniques. But okay, whatever. No, we got it. So Utah and the EU just so happened to, at the very same time and practically on the very same day, announce methods by which VPNs can be rendered useless because they, you know, want to protect children. After all, don't you want to protect children? Put your face in the machine. If you want to protect children, just put your face in the machine. Just let it scan you. Let it create your digital clone. Let us surveil you constantly. Let us listen into your conversations through the fiber optic cables in your walls. You don't hate children, do you? You want to protect children? So do that. Great. At the same time, all of this is happening. We have a video from a man who filed a FOIA request on his own property and discovered that the Department of Homeland Security had drone footage of his backyard garden, which will soon be illegal. Now, this happened in Virginia, but we've covered this extensively in places like Oregon, where they keep incrementally changing the definition of things to accrue further, you know, bigger and bigger authority over more and more things, to where a puddle in your backyard can be classified as a lake, so the EPA can, you know, tell you not to drain it, or, you know, collecting rainwater is illegal in Oregon for some reason. Having a backyard garden apparently makes you a farmer and you have to like apply for a special license. They're trying to stop you from growing your own food, folks. It's not that complicated. Say, see, the rationing that I keep talking about wouldn't be all that effective if you can just use the bounty of God's earth to create your own flourishing garden. That's like total anathema to the world controllers. You're supposed to be a slave of them. And all of the bounty and goodness and prosperity of the earth is supposed to be doled out by them to those who are appropriately subservient, okay? That's what this is all about. Let's go to this video. Let's watch it. Clip number 14. This was posted by Dr. Jane Ruby on X. Man files FOIA on his own property, and it comes back with drone footage of his yard where he has a vegetable garden. It's been labeled, quote, suspected food production. Okay, just take that phrase. If your government is saying the words suspected food production, maybe time for a revolution, folks. Let's watch.
You guys, I'm freaking out right now. I did a FOIA request, a Freedom of Information Act request on my name, and this is what I got. This is a drone surveillance video of my yard, of my private property, looking for food, looking for me growing food on my private property. Not only am I freaked out, but I'm furious. I'm furious. Everyone should be furious. We need to talk about this. Send this to someone who you think is growing food and would also be on the government watch list, because this is not okay.
No, it's wild. It's crazy. They haven't labeled suspected food producer. Suspected food producer. So he didn't know this until he filed the FOIA request. Maybe we all need to be filing FOIA requests to find out where they've been doing this and over what part of the country they've been flying drones to identify potential backyard gardens and what that list is going to be used for. Seems to me like they are filming with a drone, labeling somebody's backyard suspected food producer, but then not telling them about it, not doing anything about it. They're gathering data that will be used in the eventuality of a food crisis, when they'll say, you keeping the food that you grew, that's selfish, you're causing other people to starve. You grew food that wouldn't exist without you, that they have no right to because they didn't plant it and they didn't grow it and they didn't do the work that you did to make it, but they'll take it from you and give it to them because it's unfair otherwise, obviously. How many times have I said it? You thought I got sick because you're not vaccinated was ridiculous. Just wait till I'm starving because you have food. And that's actually where we're going. And I can't help but wonder if we're trying to get there fast enough to not even have the midterm elections, have a major crisis, maybe get into full war with Iran, which I think is coming very soon. I mean, I've seen a lot of signals. The Iran war is either going to end or massively expand within a week or two is my guess. And that's just vibes. I'm going purely off vibes here. But the vibes I'm getting are inflection point. Either we won, we're giving in to all Iran's demands because we want to, and we're not made, we weren't forced to, but we're just like kind of sick and tired of this. So we'll move on. We don't have to, but we choose to. Like, either we're going to just stop it, or we're going to double down and go in even harder. That at least seems to be the signals I'm receiving. So I wonder if we'll even make it to the midterms, if they'll be allowed to happen. We got stories like this. Boris Johnson, former Prime Minister of England, says falling birth rates are not a disaster. They're the best bit of global news in a long time. He says in the hilltop villages of Tuscany, where I was recently, the bells were tolling for far more funerals than weddings. And that made him thrilled, I guess. That made him happy. It's the best news he's heard in a long time, the fact that there's more funerals than weddings. That alone, I think, would be enough to say this man is an insane person who should be institutionalized. But you only really realize what this article is about when I tell you that Boris Johnson has 9 children. He has 9 children. Boris Johnson could field a lacrosse team of his own offspring, but he thinks that everybody else not having babies is great news. It's great news and should be pushed more for it. Like, he gets to have 9 children, but you don't get to have any. And he prefers the funeral bells over the wedding bells because he's a sick psychotic, obviously. And he talks about how these numbers are very high in sub-Saharan Africa or provinces elsewhere. As for the UK, he says, once one of the fastest growing populations in Europe, the latest figures show that deaths this year will now exceed births for the first time since the mid-1970s. Yes, we on this island are part of the trend. We're also going to peak much earlier than previously expected by mid-century with decline thereafter. Yes, folks, it's expected, unimaginable, and now undeniable. The pessimists are calling it the great global baby bust, and of course it's causing politicians going to spasm. Boris Johnson says falling birth rates are good news. Yeah, it doesn't make a very compelling case there. But of course, it's not just birth rates. It's the mass death from the war happening in Ukraine. And of course, Africans will replace the people there. Southern influx. Ukraine is preparing to receive hundreds of thousands of migrants because what they're doing is creating an infinite cycle of immigration where new people will be brought in. They'll be corrupted by the leftist media and chemicals in our water. They'll be rendered infertile within a generation or two. Their line will die out, and you'll bring in another crop of people from the third world that's kept in massive population surplus by all the excess food that we send them. That's the plan. Don't forget it.
Draft politicians for World War III, like Lindsey Graham and Ben Shapiro. Let's send them to the front lines. You can get this shirt and other incredible designs at thealexjonesstore.com, which also funds the new network, the Alex Jones Network, where you'll find my live feeds, the other great shows, special reports, investigative reports, and more at the new coordinates of liberty, alexjoneslive.com. And share that URL as well. You are the modern Paul Revere's. And then, of course, download on Android and Apple the free apps so you can watch the show and more and share it at alexjonesapp.com. Now I'll see you on the front lines of the info war.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're watching AlexJonesLive.com. It was declassified in 2025. The CIA and the FBI under Obama's command launched the attacks to shut down the original InfoWars. But InfoWars belongs to the people, and it's stronger than it's ever been. They can't take that away. You are the real power of this operation. So take the link, alexjoneslive.com, and the link, alexjonesapp.com, for the free Droid and Apple download, and share it on your email list, your text messages, with everybody you know and complete strangers. You have all the power. When you call and tell me how great I am, I say, stop. I'm just like you. I want freedom. I need you to get excited about the power you have. And that's what it's all about. They think you're about to shut us down. That is a total lie, ladies and gentlemen. Humanity is unstoppable when we take action. And the coordinates of liberty are alexjoneslive.com and alexjonesapp.com. Take action now. Share those URLs to everyone you know now and break the back of the globalists. You're unstoppable, Paul Revere. Take action now.